In the liturgical year, we're midway between two polar opposites that both describe the Lord Jesus perfectly. On the last Sunday of the year, we heard Jesus coming on the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead, and every eye will see him. And we can all, in our imagination, picture us being there and having our whole lives revealed. But I can't picture myself coming on the clouds of heaven, because that's a role of the Lord. That describes God's justice, and it is infinite and perfect. It was to save us from that infinitely perfect justice that Jesus came on the cross and died. He died as a man. He died in vulnerability. And this too is an image of God, because, please God, none of us will be nailed to a cross physically, but we all have our crosses to carry, and some of them here are very heavy. So that's an image of God's mercy, and all who take advantage of it are saved from God's justice. And in between there, we have today's gospel. And that describes, I think, where many of us are at or have been at. Jesus appears to be spiritually exhausted. He has spent a very busy day, and he needs to head for the hills. He hightails it out of that house and goes up to pray. And this describes so very poignantly the human condition. Here we find Jesus at his most human, not at these two opposites, but working his way through life just like we have to. We find that Jesus in the gospel had, it was the Sabbath, he's just beginning his ministry, he's probably new to Capernaum, and he's talked in the synagogue, as is his right, and he cured somebody. We've heard this in the Gospels. The people were captivated. They were astonished by his teaching. And the whole town was talking about him. And being the Sabbath, he went over to Peter and Andrew's house. Remember, people lived in extended families there. And so it was probably a very crowded house, but they made room for Jesus. And James and John came along too. They had a fishing business with Peter and Andrew, remember. All four of them were in business together, along with their fathers, and probably a lot of other people. So Jesus comes in the house, and of course, Peter's mother-in-law is sick. This raises a really interesting question, which I am not going to talk about, except to point out the obvious. Peter has a wife somewhere, or had one. The church, Peter. And the question is she still living? Is she dead? What happened to Peter's wife? That's the first question I'm going to ask him when I see him. So, the church has been absolutely silent about it. Nobody knows. As far as I know, there's no tradition as to what happened there. But that's the only evidence of it we've got. Perhaps some of the other ones were married also. Who knows? So she immediately gets up and starts waiting on them. It's the Sabbath. It's a wonderful image of thankfulness. She's so thankful to be healed, she immediately gets up and starts to wait and serve them. But there's something else she probably did that got Jesus in a lot of trouble. They didn't have telephones then, but somehow she must have leaned out the window and she said, "Oy vey, look what he did for me. You better get right over here." You know. And next thing you know, the whole town is outside the front door. Any of you ever lived in a small town? Tillamook was like this. You say one thing to one person and the network gets it out just like that. When I announced I was leaving there to go here at the Saturday night mass, nobody had heard it yet. I kept a very good secret. But an hour later, the whole town knew about it. That's what Capernaum is like, see. And it's a good thing, really. It's just that it got Jesus in a lot of trouble, because you can see him standing in front of that door, one person after, they couldn't get in, you know. It was a small house. I've seen them. I've seen this place that's supposed to be Peter's house, and it probably is, and it's very small, you know. It looks about the size of this sanctuary up here. And so he met them at the door, one after the other. And in front of the Lord God, you know, as a human being, past all the suffering of humanity in one evening. You know, anybody who's been in ministry knows there's a lot of suffering out there. Most of us keep it to ourselves. Nobody wants to hear about your suffering, really, except somebody that loves you. But we all have these... A lot of people are suffering terribly in this world. And Jesus, you know, Jesus cared so much about all these people. This is why he came, you know. One issue after the other. And finally, we don't know how it ended, but we do know everybody went to sleep, but not everybody got cured. So at some point, Peter probably, as sort of the head of the household, came out and said, all right, we're all tired, you can come back tomorrow. It was late, they were exhausted, everybody dropped to the floor and went to bed. Jesus, however, heard those words, you can all come back tomorrow. So what does Jesus do? He wakes up early and hot foots it up to the hills. Ah, guess what? Jesus had limits. And you and I have limits too. This is something you should never forget. Jesus had limits. He didn't cure everyone. He knew when to stop. Do you? It's very interesting. I want to stand for a moment, a bit of a sidebar, in front of that door. Let's stand there with Jesus for a moment. In front of him, past all that suffering. This week I had a very unusual week, a normal week in many ways, but very intense. Lots going on here. There's just a number of people that are very close to death, and Joe Glandorf passed away. Many of you know him. He was the St. Vincent de Paul Society here for many years. And coincidentally, we're having a drive to rebuild the council, and he gave us a push on the way out, you know. But that was one thing that and then on the other, I had a funeral yesterday. I didn't talk about it because we were keeping a low profile till after it was over. But we buried Eric Ayala. Does his name ring a bell to you? This was the young gentleman that shot those 9 people, of which 2 died. And his family were here, and I buried him. And I'll tell you, I thought about it all week long. And the thing that came to mind is this was our neighbor. He went to McNary. He walked by my rectory. It leaves you wanting answers to life, not just that. I share it with you because I want you all to ponder this week about how close to the edge so many people are. It is only by the grace of God that you or I are not with that family. The edge is closer than you think. It is God's grace that keeps us on the path. And the way we do it is through prayer. Jesus needed to get away. Having seen all of the problems of humanity capsulized in that one town, Jesus needed to pray about the whole thing. What is my ministry about? Where am I going? What is this leading to? You know what Jesus prayed about? I'm sure he prayed about his coming crucifixion. There's nothing like an impending hanging to get you thinking in the right direction. There's more wisdom to be found at a sick bed of somebody dying or at a funeral than 1,000 parties, because it clarifies the things that are important. And Jesus spent a morning in prayer. Now, if I'd been Jesus, I would have, after everyone left, I'd have hot-footed it out that evening and then slept in the morning, you know. But Jesus, for his part, he prayed as long as he could. And in front of him, suddenly, here comes Peter. And he sees Peter coming in the distance, and his prayer time is over. I think our Lord is challenging you, challenging me, to prayer. I talk about this a lot, but you know, if I'm married to someone and I don't talk with them every day, I'm not going to have a marriage very long, am I? If I have a friend and I don't send them a Christmas card and I don't call them at least once a year, I don't have a friendship anymore. If I'm not talking to God somehow, all day long, some way, then I don't really have a relationship with Jesus. If I don't get enough out of Mass, maybe I'm not praying during the week. Mass is a prayer. It's not entertainment. We're here to worship God. We're here to get energized for the next week. We're here to get fed and to give as well as to receive. If I'm not praying, I'm not going to see it. The best thing we can do is to take this scripture home. How many of us are overextended? I was thinking this week, you know, Wonder Woman and Superman are myths. If you think you're Wonder Woman or Superman, you think you've got too much going on, your to-do list is too big, I've got too much suffering in my life, too much homework. Well, the ones with the homework are out in the other building, I suppose. My employer's asking too much, my bills are too high, I can't make my house payment or my rent payment. There's too much going on. I will pray later. You've got your priorities backwards. What are my priorities? I would submit to anyone in this room, if you take your problems to prayer and you make priority for it, make an appointment for it, you will find that your problems will begin to sort themselves out as if by magic. You will find your priorities will begin to become clear because God will assist you, but he waits to be asked. No, you're not going to hear the Archangel Gabriel. Neither do I. But he does make it clear that he's helping. Because occasionally he'll pull back and leave us to ourselves. If you don't ask for his help, he will leave you to your own devices. But it will not be a pleasant experience in the long run. I don't mean that we all have to pray an hour a day. I mean, that's what I do. I've been doing it for several decades. I would not be able to preach without it. But all of us are called to carve some time out. One of the best things to do is when you wake up in the morning, unless you're one of these people that can't even think without coffee, you know, is to just spend a few moments or minutes with your eyes open after the alarm rings, unless you can't, you know, go back to sleep, but to thank God. Thank God I have one more day. This may be my last day. Thank you, Lord, for this great day. Start out with a good thank you. That's the best way to get the day going well. And then ask Jesus, what is it that you and I are going to work on together today? What's our project? You know, at the end of the day, ask him how it went. Make an honest assessment. During the day, you can pray while you're driving in the car if you're alone. You can pray in line. You can talk to him. You know, cell phones are the best thing invented that I've ever seen. I used to pray in the car out loud for decades, you know, and people must have thought I was nuts. Now they think I'm on a cell phone. Used to be, I was praying out loud once in my car about 20 years ago, and I stopped at a red light and I looked over and everybody's looking at me. But our Lord will help you find places to pray. I mentioned this before. There was a mother that came up to me, and she was kind of mad after I gave a sermon like this, and she says, the only time I have to pray with my five kids is when I lock myself in the bathroom for 5 minutes. And I said, well, then that's what God's calling you to do. You're a mother. You have to pray on the fly. If you're retired, he expects something more from you. So our Lord invites all of us who are overextended, and believe me, this week was a bad one for me. You know, I mean, it was a good one, but it was tough, you know. I had to keep bringing these things in prayer. I stood at the door and watched one thing after the other. And now there's somebody dying, a good long-time parishioner at Salem Hospital, where I will go after the Spanish Mass. And it will not be exhausting because it's a labor of love. But I do stand at the door and ask many questions of God about life. You can hide and run from it, but you'll never learn the right answers. As Jesus sees Peter coming, he knows his prayer time is going to end. And Peter comes up to him and he says, don't you know everyone's looking for you? And Jesus kind of said to him, well, get a clue. What do you think I'm doing here? He looked at him and he said that, you know. And then he said, let's go on. You know what he said there? Let's not go back and heal every person in Capernaum. Let's go on because that's what I'm called to do. What would you have done? Honestly, wouldn't you have gone back? Wouldn't you feel guilty if you didn't? But that would not have been God's will. The only way to know that is if you took it to prayer. That's what I have to do because my agenda is always longer than the day. And many of yours is the same way. So we offer to God then today our lives, our work, our prayer, our struggles, our joys, as we too stand in front of the door of our lives and one thing after the other comes forward. Our Lord challenges us Are you praying enough? Are you praying with your heart? And then Jesus will say to you, let's go on. Let's go on together.